But also we're going to be jumping back into Colossians, like we did last week. And we are finding ourselves in, over all the years that I've pastored, I haven't actually preached on this passage in this way. So we just thought we would time it perfectly, that Sharon was with the youth up at the camping trip, and I get to preach on this passage, that you'll find out maybe why that's maybe a good thing. And on that note too, so it's great. I just say thank you, Doug and Sylvia, took the kids on a bit of a boat excursion yesterday at Harrison as well, so that's all good. It was fun to see them together and having a great time. But we're going to be looking at, here it is, sorry. I've entitled this sermon, The X Factor of Relationships, so I want you to be thinking about that for a moment. I was thinking about maybe X-Files of relationship, but anything with the last part of files right now is maybe off topic. But the X-Factor of relationships, and we're going to look in Colossians. We find ourselves at the end of Colossians in Colossians 3, 18 to 25. And we're going to jump in it. I'm going to start reading, and here it comes. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. We'll just stop there. That's probably all we're going to get at right now. we're not going to get too far down the way, basically because we have communion as well. I'll be touching on a little bit there. But wives, submit yourselves to husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you, and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and therefore there is no favoritism. Okay. So like I talked about, this today might be ordained by God that I'm preaching on this sermon here today. But we also might only get through the first two verses, partly because I'm hoping maybe there's going to be some questions that we might want, if there's some brave souls that might have some questions today. But we're going to start with, we're going to step away from Colossians a little bit and look at this topic to hopefully give us a framework that we can understand this passage in Colossians, because there's also other passages that speak about this. Some of the ones that are a little bit more in-depth about that, and that also might lead into women in ministry, all those things. We're not going to get at that right now, but we're going to look at this understanding. So we're going to look at Ephesians, and then we might be glancing at a few others. So first of all, we want to look at Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. So let's just look at this right now. We're going to look at, there's the whole context of this, but for time we're going to look at this verse. And I want to look at a few things here. This metaphor of headship. A couple things with this. It talks about Jesus is the head of the church, saying here. This is the metaphor that Paul's drawing from. So he's drawing from the fact that Jesus is the head of the church. Now he's saying, okay, now husbands, you're head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, his body for which he is Savior. So there's that. and it's an interesting portion here, or not what we've maybe tried to understand here, is that there's other passages that talks about Jesus as the head of the church. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, and Colossians 1 and 2, which we actually just looked at. So Paul is probably speaking, probably looking at the same kind of thinking that is in Ephesians here too. So I'm going to put a couple statements on the board here, and I want you to tell me which of these statements are not in the Bible, okay? Men are head of the household. Men are head of the woman. Tell me which statements are not in the Bible. Anyone want to pick one? Someone said, I got someone saying the first one. Anyone else? What? You say the first one? Yep. What else? Who's really uncomfortable right now, actually? I'll just leave my hand up. Because I'm a man up here speaking about this. Yeah.
Is man synonymous with husband and father in this context?
I'm just asking, good question. I'm just asking now what these statements here.
Yeah, in this statement, that's what I mean. Like, men are the head of women. Is that in the context of a marriage or is that period?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I'll get to it in a minute.
Because it depends on how I'm going to vote.
Right. Okay, well, we're not going to take your votes right here. It's a bit of a tricky question. I've set you up. Neither of them. So neither of them. Oh, dear, right? Okay, if you can find that in the Bible, let me know. That would be great. But neither of them. It's what we come up with after reading the Bible. It's our interpretive lens that we then, and then it's our culture, our church culture, what we then bring to, and then we believe. And I'm not saying, and I'll just say this right away. First of all, I hope that you know me long enough here that we want to have conversations and dialogues, right? That we also know that there's a whole bunch of different, 47,000 different denominations that are trying to faithfully interpret the Bible in that way. And so we need to try to understand this. So what I'm not going to do is disparage what other people are, what they're coming from, what their understanding is, or what I'm going to try to do is try to just make statements like this. Right now, this isn't in the Bible. Okay. So the Bible never says that. When it talks about head, next slide, I think, kephali, it talks about, so it could mean leadership, it could mean source, it could mean a body part, my head, right? And it's a metaphor that Paul is drawing from Christ being head of the church, okay? What is in the Bible is this. It does speak about the husband is the head of the wife, and we're going to try to unpack that. You're like, well, you're changing words around. So go back to the last slide, though, Tracy. But if we understand this, in the context where the Bible is clear, where it says husband is head of the wife, that's in that relationship. What it's not saying is that men are the ones that are over women. Right? So it's the context here is actually in the marriage relationship. This is, and we're actually going to get to what that means. Okay? All right. Okay. Ephesians 5, so you can go to the head one. And then Ephesians 5 says that there's, in the midst of the context, you can read Ephesians 5 for yourself, the whole thing. There's no sense of authority or leading, actually, during that time. It talks about how Jesus and also the husband would save, sacrifice, and love. Never says, actually, in that context, that the husband leads her or has authority over her, which is really interesting. Colossians 1, 18, Jesus says, Jesus is the head of the church, but he's also, it talks about the source of resurrection, the source of life, the head. Colossians 2, 18 says, Jesus is the head of the church, which then what helps the church to what? Flourish. We've talked about that. Ephesians 2:18. So the head is now the source of what? Flourishing. The head is the source of flourishing. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus had authority, right? Jesus like, but in this context here, we don't see in Ephesians 5 the context of somehow the husband having authority over in this way, which was really interesting. Ephesians 1:2 speaks about the head provides, the head is provided so that church can grow. In Ephesians 4:15-16, it talks about the head equips the church through growth, but the growth of the church comes through love. And so it's a cultivation of flourishing for all people. So what it's saying is that husbands should care for and love their wives as Christ cares for and loves the church. That's a big responsibility, huge responsibility. And we're going to get to that in a moment. This does not talk about, now, it's interesting enough, as you did a little study on it, is, and you, again, correct me if I'm wrong, love to have coffee with you, chat about this. Like, hopefully we're in it for the long game, right? Because I think this is the goal. As we look at this, we want Jesus to challenge us in the way that we love and the way that we represent God's kingdom on earth here as it is in heaven. We want Jesus to always be challenging us, in a sense, to help all people flourish, especially in our marriages, especially, and if you're not married, this is also for you. I don't want to just exclude this, that this is just a marriage, this is all relationships. It's the X factor of relationships that I hope that we're going to get to at the end, and it'll make a bit more sense. But spoiler alert, the only time that the Bible does talk about, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, I usually don't always use the only time, but again, you can write this down. The only time that the Bible does talk about, in now talking about marriage relationships, where it talks about decision making, like how do you make decisions? What does this look like? It's in 1 Corinthians 7, 1-6, and that's an interesting passage all on its own. Talking about when they should have sex, and maybe someone holding back from sex, and what, like, and that there, that only passage that talks about decision making says, figure it out between the two of you. Think about how awkward that is for Paul, single guy, trying to go, okay, can you just figure that out between the two of you? And again, it's talking about where we're going to get to, submission, by allowing one another, giving of one another, but giving with one another in the context of permission. But also not withholding in a context of like lording over. And that's the big thing that we want to be looking at here. So these are all very, very interesting. Now, when it comes to practical wisdom, some might be going, well, how do we make decisions on this? I don't know if that it leads us to this. But Sharon and I, when it comes to, you know, early on when we were trying to sort this out, like how do we make decisions? What does it look like? Because our framework was, and for has been since our marriage, would be this context of egalitarian, that we consider both of us equal in the relationship. We have different roles, obviously. I'm a man, she's a woman. We have different roles in that way, but we're egalitarian, which means that we're not going to, one person isn't going to be deferred to only, if that makes sense. So one of the easy, just simple wisdom would be whoever is more of the expert in that decision, maybe listen to that one person the most. If they're like not going down some crazy, you know, conspiracy theory rabbit hole on YouTube, right? But if they're actually, so then someone might have more of an expertise in that. And so we listen to one another and then we make a decision in that way. So if sometimes we're like, oh, I'm not sure. Sometimes it's like, I'm done thinking. Can you do this? Okay, great. Yeah, I will. Or, right? Like we're just, sometimes when it comes to decision making, but it's not because of it, in a sense, it doesn't necessarily defer to one person. Now I'm saying this is that's how over the years that we've also read scripture and understood it to be, as well as I also know that I want to just say this too, because all of a sudden it's coming out that, hey, Kevin, you're kind of leaning towards one side. Yes, that's where I'm living. That's actually where I'm seeing Scripture laying out on some of these things. But also, I also know that, guess what? There's so many marriages that work out great that look a little bit, that would look different than what Sharon and I live out, which would be called a complementarianism. So I'm not disparaging that at all. Sometimes it just works out like that. And sometimes, like, yeah, would you please make all the decisions? That's totally fine. Okay, good. But when it breaks down a little bit, is sometimes then people will say on the complementarian side, like, oh, you can never do that. Like, that's, and we're like, well, no, actually, we're living in this quite well, and it's actually a faithful reading of the Scripture. And so we're partly seeing a little bit of this going, we can read Scripture faithfully in different ways. What I don't want us to do is read Scripture thinking we're reading Scripture faithfully, that then may move to coercion or abuse, because we know that that has happened lots. And I'm not just saying that, and we can't, we also aren't saying, well, look at those people, they're a complementarian, they must be abusive. No, that's ridiculous. They're living, that it's a good thing that how they were making it work. Does that make sense? Without trying to be such a politician here, but that, it is true. We have to negotiate, in a sense, if you're here, if you've been here this long, you know that Scripture isn't always black and white on a lot of these things, and we have to try to understand what this means in our lives. So there you go. So now let's talk a little bit about that passage. So that simple passage, you're like, can you come back to Colossians? We're going to go to Colossians, but we're going to jump to Philippians too before we get there, okay? So Tracy, if we can go back to Colossians real quick, the first one in Colossians. Sorry. Yes. She's so good. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Okay. But we also know the idea of Jesus, what submission is. Submission, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the most powerful being in the world, does what? Jesus descended into greatness from heaven to earth to death, to the grave, and then was resurrected. And we talked about the resurrection. We're living in the resurrection now, Easter, and Jesus is always doing what? Pointing them back to the cross. Look at the wounds. Look what it's going to take you. If you want to live a resurrected life, it's going to hurt. And it's a beautiful way to say, and I'm doing this for the flourishing of all people. And so, we're going to read Philippians 2:1-11 here. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Questions? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working towards one another with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of your others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take on the interests of others too. You must have the same attitude of that of Christ Jesus. So this is the ultimate submission passage, which is listen to one another, humble yourself to one another, not only your own interests, but other interests. It's basically like what I have is really good. I need to offer it to other people, in a sense. I don't just hoard that to myself. Expertise, my love, my whatever I can have for people. And as we do this, more people are going to bubble up and then flourish as a result of it. And then we see Jesus. Though he was God, Jesus, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. We've talked about that. That's harpagmo. It's like where we get the word harpoon, where we're just like grabbing and taking. He didn't see that as something to grasp onto, to hold onto. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself obedient to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue on earth, sorry, in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So there's rising up, but I like the one author says it, Jesus descended into greatness. Beautiful metaphor. Kind of does something to your head too. Are we willing? Can we descend into greatness in our relationships with each other? It doesn't mean that we become a doormat or something to get kicked at either. In all of our relationships, and I would say maybe especially a great marriage, it's mutual submission. Or as one person said, a race to the bottom. An intentional effort to lift the other person up. To lift someone up, to help them, to be, so that they can be all that they can be. But who's doing it for me? Yes. In the sense that it does break down, but if we're all kind of doing that, then we're all helping other people rise up in this way. It's the sheer joy of making someone else great for the entirety of your life. It should be for many, should also happen in many of our other relationships and not just marriage. Many Christians, sometimes, me included, a lot of the time, I'll make a mistake and assume that when it says wives submit, and sometimes I like to joke about that in our family, you'd love to listen in on that one, means that there's some kind of vertically integrated power structure that God has ordained. And that one person might make all the decisions. And one person does whatever another person says. And does whatever this person... But I wonder if maybe we might have got it wrong sometimes. And as Jesus followers, we work for the flourishing of all people. And that is through mutual submission. In the midst of the Ephesians, now we're going to go back to Ephesians 5, so we're jumping all over here, but Ephesians 5, 21, the marriage passage, but it talks about this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5, 21. First Peter talks about this, submit to one another. There's this mutual submission that is to happen, not only in our relationships, in our marriage relationships, because I don't want those people that aren't married to tune out, but it's actually, he's talking about in here marriage, but then Peter's talking about in our relationships with one another. And what does that look like? What does that mean? Submitting to one another. And for men, I might say, maybe this. Now we can look at history and whatnot. I don't want to, like, I think I've said enough to maybe boggle some of our minds here a little bit. But one question that I've had to ask myself, and I think it's a good question, is this. How do I, as a male, in my context, how do I use the advantage that culture has given me for the flourishing for other people? Well, I want to start in my own marriage relationship in that way. And then what does it look like in other ways too? And I know that right now there's a growing interest in people maybe feeling, it's hard to be a white male right now. Well, it might be. And maybe you can identify with some women or some other people that are on the, it's like, so how do I then take that and how do I then understand what it means for flourishing at all of everyone? And so that's helped me understand that. One, I have to say that I have an advantage. And I look around and I say, yeah, there's other people, for sure. There's other women that are maybe more advantages of me. But the whole arc of history, it favors usually those in power, and usually those in power are men. And this is what I want to talk about here is this. So power here, headship, is never power over. It's always power under. Now, one of the things I wasn't able to do is this. If you put the next slide up, so when you talk about the X factor of submission, it would be this. One author talked about it as, I didn't like it. I didn't like the first analogy. He talked about, like, if power is like looks like an eye, like a dotted eye, I'm like, why is it a dotted eye? And then, but if power is like one person over the other, right? And this one person is have this kind of power, then mutual submission then would then turn that power into an X, where you're diving underneath each other at different times, or you're dancing in these different, like, you, so it looks like an X. So if you put up the X, it's, everyone can understand that. Where there is times when, yeah, there's mutual submission. So there's times when I am submitting to Sharon, or Sharon submitting to me, that then I would have maybe authority and she would have authority in different times. And that's what a mutual submission is happening. It's happened in the Trinity. Jesus, who was God, said, I'm not going to hold on to that. I'm not going to harpoon it and pull it in for myself. No, the Trinity, basically the whole nature of the Trinity, and I would say actually caused the love of the Trinity, caused Jesus to then know, reveal who he really is, to come down and stoop down and low. And yes, there is times now Jesus is above now, but he's above and below. And there's this times when we see that, even in Scripture, where Jesus is allowing some authority just to do their thing. But then there's this other kind of circle, it comes, then now he's on, in a sense, on top of what you say. But in our own relationships, if we can see it as an X, how do I dip underneath to help someone in this way? And now, this is the hard part. Do I trust? Can I trust the closest person in my life to then dip under me? And then what will I do while I have that? And might it look like Jesus? So the X factor is literally just that image for us, that we could see us dipping. And I think some really good friends of ours that are that would live more in a complementarian relationship, I see them doing it all the time. And it's happening that way too. And so I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it, but what I want to see here is that sometimes we've created a culture out of maybe Scripture that, or something says in Scripture that's actually not in Scripture, meaning men have all the authority. I don't see that actually in Scripture. And I think I can be a really faithful Jesus follower by. And this is, maybe it's taken me 55 years actually to say that. And hopefully, you know, there's part of me that goes, hopefully I have a job in the next week, right? But after 55 years of wisdom and seeing this and studying Scripture and seeing different people and seeing the world at large and understanding history and seeing how the movement of what Jesus wants to move forward, and especially in the context, I would say that you all read, the lamb, not the lion, I can have great courage in saying that. But I also know that we can interpret Scripture in different ways. But could we do it in a way, could we live our lives in a way that it looks like a kingdom, someone with kingdom power? Whatever you would think about headship, I pray that it would look like a kingdom head, not a pagan head. A pagan head that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. A pagan head that says, I'm going to coerce. I'm going to manipulate. Would it look like Jesus? And that, both sides, either way, whichever side of the X you're on, if you're on the top side, it's actually I wouldn't even say privileged place, but it's a place that has high honor and huge responsibility. Because you're actually, you're responsible for what's happening down here, the way that we live. And we can say, and we can, in a sense, say, God, forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sins against us, because we haven't done it consistently right all the time. I'm not sure if this is triggering for different people for different reasons, but I hope that we can, in this idea of submission, that there is a space for those who have been, who have submitted, that there be a space that someone else that that they've submitted to would actually dive under them and submit to them. I believe that's the beauty of it. And we can get into a long discussion about, you know, even, I won't get into it, actually. But I think even the beginning of Scripture, the Genesis, speaks about, like, even if we talk about women as the helper, well, God is the helper. The Holy Spirit's the helper. Like, God is attributed to that. And I pray that we could live in a way that moves towards flourishing for all, that happens, that would look more like Genesis 1 and 2 instead of Genesis 3. That's the great hope. So, there you go. I said we were going to have some time. Any questions? We need to, like, think of it. Yes, Irv, love it. Great. So power, if you're using power to make someone submit, I'm not sure that's a kingdom use of power. Right, so we're gonna take communion here. Jesus doesn't make anyone take communion. Jesus doesn't make anyone come. There's no coercion that happens at all in the life of Jesus. In the power of Jesus, Jesus doesn't use any power to coerce anyone. So that's why we know. Like, I'll just say it out loud, like. One of the worst things that can ever happen in culture, I would say, I'll say one of the hundreds of terrible things that can happen, right, would be, people are saying grape, but rape, right? That's triggering, maybe for some, but that's the absolute worst thing that can happen, because it's power using coercion to get harpagma to take what they want. Now, authority, in a sense, now, I'm trying to be quick on my feet here, but authority would be that someone in authority would want to live in such a way that they're using their power that would allow people opportunities, but not through coercion. Now, I'm talking about kingdom-mindedness now here, right? There's the law that we need to live by, right? If we don't share in it, Mael and I were coming down the other day to the new rink here, basically on our way to the office too, down the hill, down right by Lord Sweet Tweedsmere. And I looked in the back of the car, and I was like, oh my goodness, there's an SUV coming down, probably 120 kilometers. I'm not even joking. My heart was beating so fast. Coming down right behind us. There's nowhere to go. You know, when you turn to Lord Tweedsmere, I don't forget what, coming down, just on that thing, and there's like five cars at a stoplight before us. And that guy was flying, and I saw it, and I couldn't say anything. I couldn't even warn anything, and I just, oh, what is happening? So this person rips through, basically sees people in the other, goes on the sidewalk all the way down. I don't know if they move those poles now or whatever, but goes, rips all the way through the sidewalk, and then jumps the curb and back in, and then tore off. And everyone, all of us that went forward, like that were moving forward, we went at a snail's pace. Because I saw, we were just like, and I dropped my off. She goes, you going to go get that guy? I'm like, well. Why do I say that? We need parameters. We need authority to be able to say, this is then how to live in this way, as far as how to, like, ruling factors. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. Like, the way authority uses power in the kingdom is never coercive. That's the main point I was trying to say. I don't see, if Jesus is the full representation of God, I don't see that happening.
Well, I think Jesus demonstrated
servant
leadership.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know what's the difference. Well, power is what you do with your authority, and power is something that you can if you can do something, you do it. If you don't have a power, you can't do anything. So how do you wield what power you have? All of us have some kind of power. Some of you might not have any. That's just off the top of my head. Right? So I wonder, they're probably more interchangeable than we think. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And let's do another coffee. But yeah, and it's tricky because you're also, yeah. Submission here, I didn't get totally into it, but it is a military word that you're using here. But it also can be, there's this mutualness. And in Paul is using it, not necessarily, he doesn't use it in a military way. He's using the word to reveal that it can go both ways, in a sense, make an X or an infinity line. But, any other questions? Diane? That will be some work to do this week. I don't know. I'll have to look at that. Yeah, there is a submission. Has someone used a different verse where it says that wives obey your husbands? Yeah. I'll look at that up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think the whole point is where we got to get to communion here. What I didn't say here as much, because usually you'll hear it, I'm leaning heavily on more of like, okay, we need to submit to one another. Some other people might preach more about if you're the head of the house, it's going to look like Jesus, and when it's going to look like Jesus, that's like the most important thing. So you need to give up your life, and you do have to do all of that. What I'm saying is that we both have to do that, right? So one's not more important than the other. It's whoever, in a sense, has interesting what goes in your head, though. Whoever's on top, in a sense, has this idea that has to do it in a way that is not coercive. That's my biggest deal. And that's what I believe Scripture is speaking about here. And so when it comes down to it, yeah, Jesus, to be let's just say this, if I'm a male head, that maybe even I'm just living in a more of a complementarian, we can talk about that, what that means, complementarianism, well, then I need to be the first person to ask for forgiveness. I need to be the first person to humble myself. I need to be the first person in the relationship to have someone else flourish. I need to be, I was like, I'm, that's a lot of weight, which is good, but what if we both do it? Right? Yeah.
Passages, what I really like about
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And so each, it is not uncomfortable for me because it's not Jay telling me, submit to me. It is a biblical author being, I mean, by the Holy Spirit saying, in this context where it is safe and holy,
mm-hmm.
there is, you have a choice to submit, and there, and submission can be good. So it
yep.
is not his authority over me or my authority over him saying,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
I also think that idea of the head leadership, culturally, it's really easy for us to automatically default to Caesar, top down
mm-hmm.
leaders do this to us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, Paul constantly goes back to the husbands look like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up example is 100% accurate. So, and I always take submission as trust. You have to trust somebody if you're going to submit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the people who always have my best interests at heart are very easy to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that they've shown over so much time how much they love me, how much they have
mm-hmm.
my best
Beautiful.
Interests.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I knew I wouldn't have time to do this, but Paul is also dismantling the whole Greco-Roman understanding of what family looks like. That's a whole nother thing. For him actually to tell the husband here, love your wives, well, that wouldn't have happened in the context of the Roman then. But what we're missing here too is you know, we talked about submission, but the other word was husband, love your wives. Well, what does he love your wives? Well, we look at what Jesus did. He submitted. And that's the X factor, I believe. Sometimes we want to say, you know, love doesn't submit. No, love. Love does submit. And so then the question is, who am I submitting to? And how does this work? And what's the framework? And how does it work? Is it biblical? What does it look like? And we can see what is biblical. Yeah, and I think Paul is trying to sort out what was happening in his day, and how is it going to look different being in Jesus followers. And that's maybe what we need to be asking ourselves and relating it back to Jesus. Any other questions? This is good. Okay. I love it. Stop it. We're done, Mike says. X factor. Again, these are good things to be chatting about. And again, there's all kinds of different ways to faithfully follow Jesus in this way. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, we are going to have communion. And so I'm going to, as I prepare this, we'll, in a sense, submit to Jesus as well as one another as we serve one another. And we submit to the germs by by doing this. And I will... as those get passed, okay. I'm going to hand the communion out to us. You want to be able to, you'll get gluten-free bread as well as juice here that represents...